Well, this morning we continue in our study in 1 Corinthians 15. I want to invite you to come on out also next Sunday. Our children will be singing. But also, I want to remind you that it is Communion Sunday. And so I just want you to be prepared as you come, prepared your hearts to receive communion as it is a remembrance of the Lord's death. And it's really our holiest day of the year, Resurrection Sunday, as far as our practice. But every day is a holy day. You know, I remember as a child reading comic books. I'm not saying it's a childish thing. I know a lot of adults like reading comic books. There's no problem with that. But on the back page, you remember what was on the back page of most comic books? Charles Atlas, right? It was the Charles Atlas commercial, basically. And it was usually a guy out there at the beach with his girlfriend, and another guy comes and kicks sand in his face and kind of puts him down, and she's kind of impressed with his, because he's a bodybuilder, he's kind of impressed. And, you know, it was kind of a way of telling all these other guys, hey, you can look like that. You can be that guy with the six-pack abs and the six-pack arm, I mean, the big arms and all these things. I still continue to crack up on one of my grandchildren who said, I have a six pack of pudding cups. Well, you know, again, body image is a multi-dollar industry in our society. Whether it's the covers, whether it's whatever it is, magazines, whatever it is, the pictures, a lot of them are touched up and a lot of them are redone, but trying to get us to be dissatisfied. And you know, I read something the other day. It said, Satan is shrewd, right? He says, he's not asking you to believe in him, but he wants you to believe in yourself. And sometimes that can be very dangerous because we live in such a self-centered society. And we find ourselves longing for that which we don't have, right? I remember my hair was always kinky. I had an afro, and I always wanted straight hair. And I knew people who had straight hair who always wanted wavy hair, at least, a little body in it. You know, I remember always having the longer torso and the shorter legs. I always wanted longer legs so I wouldn't be the chubby kid running always last. I wanted to have a little bit more speed, and I thought longer legs would help me with that. And I think you can look at yourself and figure out what you wish you had or what you wish you were or what you look like, because there's so much in this country that is focused on what we look like. And when we think about resurrection, we think about getting our new bodies. We have a tendency of trying to think of our new bodies as being everything I want now for my body. We tend to think in that fashion. You know, oh man, I'll probably have, you know, good looks or big muscles or whatever it is that we are, you know, the dimensions of my body will be better proportioned or whatever it might be. Now, again, we're stewards here on this earth, and we have a responsibility to be healthy. And, you know, again, as your pastor, I haven't been setting a good example. I gained all my weight back, and it came back with some friends, and they joined in. And you know, again, we have to be good stewards of what we have. But we remember that our body is simply a vehicle for us to be used by God for His glory and His honor. And we have to keep that perspective in it. And sometimes we fantasize about what I'm going to look like in heaven. I don't know, maybe you don't, but, you know, some of us who have curly hair want long, you know, like I said, want straight hair, those with straight hair, those with no hair wish they could have some hair, you know. So what is it? What is this new body going to look like? Well, look with me to verse 35. I believe our bodies will be sufficient to carry on the work of God through eternity. Our bodies will be adequate for all that God has called us to be and to enjoy. All that which Adam and Eve missed out on because they sinned. That we will be in eternity with Him in perfection. But look what he says in 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised and with what kind of body do they come? Now, I think, friends, this is motivation for us today. To honor God, to be prepared when that day comes when we receive our resurrection body. what is that new body going to look like? He poses these two questions here. Well, let me say to the first one, how are the dead raised? They'll be raised by the power of God. Look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up. How? By His power. By His power. Look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. And the same power that raised Jesus Christ is the same power God will use to raise us up. And if He will raise us up, He will raise us up for His honor and His glory. That He is capable. He is powerful enough. He is wise enough. He is smart. He has this purpose for us. And so as we come, as we think, as we live our lives now, it's not the life, it's not to do whatever I want and live however I can, enjoying whatever is out there because I'm going to get a new body eventually. No, that's not the reasoning. That's not the goal. And many of us have done that. I remember hearing Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle said many of the men in his life had died at an early age. And at the end of Mickey Mantle's life, if you're not familiar with him, he's a baseball legend for the Yankees. He said, if I knew I was going to live so long, I would have taken better care of myself. Because he thought he was going to die young, and I'm just going to live it out. Do whatever I want, party, drink, whatever. But friends, that's not the life of a Christian. Yes, God has the power to raise us up. Yes, God has the ability, if our bodies have been burned, if our bodies have been lost at sea, whatever, if our bodies have blown up to smithereens, or if our bodies have never been found by, especially with a lot of these who were killed during the wars, God is able to give us a brand new body. And God will restore that body. But how do we live from here now? Well, I believe we live with the goal of honoring God in our bodies that He has given us. And that we bless His name with it. And that we strive forward to be godly in all ways. So how is it that this body is designed? Well, the first point is this. This new body will be given to us after we die. Gee, really? Look at the text. Verse 36. You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body, which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. In other words, he's using a farm illustration. He's saying the seeds will dry, the seed will die, you bury it, you plant it, and then it will come out to become what it's going to become. Symbolic of our death. When our bodies die, it will come up as God has chosen it to be. We're not burying, what we bury is not going to come out of the grave, it'll be a new body. Follow with me on this. Look with me to John chapter 12. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 15. But look with me to John chapter 12. Because there's a little bit more than just physical death here. Verse 24. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. The idea here is not only just to die physically, but the promise of a resurrected body comes as we die to self, and we die to self when we surrender our life to Christ, when God saves us. We are dying to self. We are putting off the old man. So here we have the promise of a resurrected body comes after we have died. But it's died physically and it's died spiritual, or in a spiritual sense, that we have died to ourselves. We have died to sin. We have died to the evil one. We have died to the power, that be, that we now have eternal life. And friends, that is for here and now. If you want the promise of a resurrected body, you die to self. You die to self today. It's a day of reckoning, a day of repentance. That if you're going to have this body, it's going to be because you have surrendered your life to Christ. And friends, that's the first part of our walk with God. That we surrender. That we say, God, I've been trying it myself. I've been doing it my way. It doesn't work. I can't seem to get ahead. I seem like I take a couple steps forward, but it's not really. I end up being three steps back. God, Father, help me. Help me today. I am a sinner. Help me to die to self. And you know, friends, it's that moment that the promise of a resurrected body comes. We live by faith. That when I have received Christ, when I have been made His child, when I have been forgiven, when I have been released from my sin, that I could look forward. I could see the promise of God coming to fruition. I could know for sure, with guaranteed, with confidence, with assurance. I could be persuaded to know that for sure I will be resurrected in this new body. But it's not just to have a new body, just to have a new body. We'll see how we go. Come back with me to 1 Corinthians 15. The second point is this. This new body will be just as God has designed it. Look at verse 38. But God gives it a body just as He wished. And to each of us, the seeds, a body of its own. God has designed this body that we are going to have. And if He is the master designer, we know that this body is going to be what? Perfect. That this body will be used in eternity. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly one is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from the star in glory. Now, what he's saying here, look, God is the creator of all life, and He has given to each its own body. Now, this is important for us to understand this, more than just because of our resurrection body, but because in this area of evolution, there is no crossovers. There is no bug becoming a monkey. There's no monkey becoming a man. Each one has its own body. But we see here that we are designed just the way God designed us. Look with me to... We'll stay here at this point. Do you understand that? That we will get a new body when we die. We get the new body promised to us now because we have died to self. But now this body, what's it going to look like? God has it designed. I don't have to worry so much about the details because I know if God is the designer, He is perfect in His design, right? You know, some of us in our vehicles, in our cars, some of us prefer Fords, some prefer Chevys, some prefer Toyota, some prefer Mercedes, some prefer some other kind of vehicle. Well, and a lot of it has to do with family tradition. Some of it has to do with money. Some of it has to do, you know what, we drive a Ford because somebody Liz graciously gave us a Ford. So again, God creates bodies, animals, insects, sea life, air, birds. God has created the sun, the moon. He is the designer. And He will give it to us as He wishes. And we receive it with what? Gratitude. Gratitude. And that gratitude should begin today. That we should be grateful because God is going to be the designer. You know, a lot is made in paintings, right? About whose signature is at the bottom, right? Mine is going to have my body. If it were tattooed with anything, it would say, made by God. made by God. I remember as a kid, if you bought a transistor radio from Japan, it usually was what? Staticky. Not very well made. So you tried to buy items that weren't made in Japan. Now you look for items made in Japan. I remember my brother, when he was in Vietnam, he had R&R. And he went over to Japan and he mailed home sound equipment because their sound equipment had improved. See, we look for name brands because we have a warranty and or a guarantee. I remember when Hyundai cars first came out, their maintenance was not very good. They had a lot of problems. But they were one of the first automakers that guaranteed a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Well, my God is going to make our bodies that will last, that will be perfect, that we will be content in, that will be sufficient for the task at hand. Point number three, this new body will never die. This new body will never die. Look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown perishable, a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. How long will this inheritance last? How long? It's an eternal inheritance. And in order for us to enjoy an eternal inheritance, God has to give us what kind of a body? An imperishable one. One that will never die. So that we can continue enjoying his eternal inheritance for the rest of our life, for the rest of eternity. Now think about this. You may have been recipients of an inheritance here on earth. Your rich uncle, your rich aunt, or your parents left you. How long will you be able to enjoy that inheritance? One, till it's gone, or till you die. I don't know any of you having rich uncles that inheritance will last the rest of your life. So it's either until it's gone or until you die. What about our spiritual inheritance? Will it ever be exhausted? Never. Why? Because it's an imperishable one. It's an eternal inheritance. It's one that God will supply. And will we ever die? Will we ever fall short in life? No, because we have an eternal body. So that we will be able to enjoy his eternal benefits. Now, let's get the focus right. These eternal benefits are not just to lift ourselves up, but to help us accomplish the will of God. His benefits are there for us. For us to honor him. Today in the Christian life, what are we lacking? What are we lacking in our spiritual life? The thing we are lacking is the practice of all that God has given us. Because God has blessed us with everything, right? According to life and godliness. He has given us all spiritual blessings. We fall short today on this earth because of our sin bodies, because we're still in the flesh, because we're weak. But God has promised us all these things. All we must do is surrender ourselves to them and say, Lord, let me enjoy what you have given to me. Let me put into practice all that you've given to me. Help me to grow. Help me to mature. Help me to see that what you have for me is sufficient. Sufficient. So this eternal body will never die, and we will be able to enjoy his inheritance. And you know what I think at first and foremost of this inheritance is to be in his presence forever. And Psalm 23, towards the end of the psalm, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The fourth thing we see here this new body will always bring glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:43. Not only is it sown perishable and is raised imperishable, but it's sown in dishonor and it is raised in glory. Now, as we think about our human bodies, we often dishonor God with our bodies, right? If we're honest with ourselves, because none of us are perfect. Some of us may dishonor it more than others, right? Some of us will find ourselves in shame. But friends, we will be raised in honor. What does that mean? Well, what your body, your physical body, could not do completely and always was to worship and praise God, right? We fall short. Even Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. There's an ongoing spiritual battle as long as we're in the flesh. And a lot of times we fall on the short end because we fail to honor God because of the weakness of our flesh, the weakness of our sin. And I have no problem being able to say we're all sinners, because he says in John, whoever says he's without sin is a liar. But thank God for 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sin, he is what? To do what? And to do what? From where? All unrighteousness. We have a promise of God that will cleanse us. But friends, that day is coming when we will be clean, completely clean. We will be washed completely. Look with me to Philippians chapter 3, please. Verse 21. Well, look at verse 20. For our citizenship is in what? Heaven. With which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. How many of you eagerly waiting for the Savior to come? The Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. By the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. This is guaranteed. Why? It's based on the power of God. And it says that Jesus Christ is seated where? At the right hand of the Father. And that right hand is descriptive of power. That Jesus is in the place of power and authority. He is at the right hand of the Father. And He will exercise His perfect will. And He will bring us into conformity when we receive our resurrected body. Today we're working at being conformed. Today we're working at drawing closer. Today we're working at being more like Christ. But the day is coming when we will be complete when we have our resurrected body. By the power of God, I will be raised up to be used for His glory, to please Him, and to enjoy Him perfectly. Perfectly. What we can only do in part today because we're still in the flesh, we will be able to do. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that? I mean, if our heart's desire today is to honor God and to please Him, we should look with much motivation to the day when we get our new bodies, when we can do this forever without having to fail, without having to stumble, without having to trip. We can look to Him. This new body will always bring glory to God. Look with me to Colossians chapter 3. It's Philippians and Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed. When's Christ going to be revealed? Well, for the believers, we'll see Him at the rapture. The rest of the world will see Him at His second coming. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. What a promise. What a precious thought that one day I will be revealed with Him in glory. That I will have His glory upon me. And that we will see each other. There will be no more shame, no more embarrassment, no more trying to hide from one another. Why? Because we will be His in His glory. Amen? This new body, point number five, will be able to follow through with all of God's desires. Look at the second half of verse 43 of 1 Corinthians 15. Not only is the stone perishable and raised imperishable, not only is it sown in dishonor, but is raised in honor, but is also sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. Even the mic heard power. No matter how strong you are, physically or mentally, it's still not strong enough. We are unable to completely protect ourselves from diseases and other injuries, correct? This body, and as we get older, it's getting weaker. How many of you can attest to that? We can't lift what we used to be able to lift. We can't do what we used to be able to do. We can't go as far as we used to be able to go without sitting down and resting and taking a deep breath. God will change that. But see, lest we think it's so then I can achieve whatever I want. No, it's always in connection with pleasing God, with honoring God. But you say, that makes Him selfish. No, that makes Him God. He is sovereign. He is in control. He is the creator. He is the designer. He is the keeper of all life. You've heard the phrase, the spirit is willing, but the we will never, ever have that battle again. The spirit will always be willing, and our spiritual body will always be able to come up to the challenge to meet that truly. That not only is our spirit willing, but our body will be willing also and able to carry it through. Why? Because it's all for His glory. It's all for His praise. The spirit will be willing, and the body will also follow through with it. It will carry through. It will fulfill. Now, friends, just because the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, today it doesn't give us an excuse not to press forward, not to push on, not to reach forward, not to love fervently, not to put off the old man, not to flee youthful lust. We are still called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But you and I know that we still will fall short. But in heaven, we will never fall short. Why? Because of the power of God that He has instilled in the new body, that we will be His forever. The sixth point here. This new body will be set free from the limitations of our earthly body. What do you mean? Look at verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. See, our body here was created with a distinct ability to live on earth. Okay? He didn't create us to live in the sky, in the second heavens, in outer space. He didn't create our bodies to be able to survive underwater. You know, Sarah wish he could. I mean, we do it, why? Because of man-made instruments, right? If you have a bodysuit in heaven, in the second atmosphere, you could survive. Or if you have those other suits that you go underwater with, you can make it. But that's not what our bodies were made for. Our human body was made distinctly for this earth. It is suited for this planet. Look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, speaking of our body, We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Are you groaning for that new body? Are you groaning for that heavenly body? Now, we tend to think of things in time and in space. Does that mean that I'll be able to walk through walls? I don't know if there's going to be walls in heaven like that. I don't know how this is going to actually work out. But we will have a spiritual body that's not limited by our earthly bodies. And our earthly bodies are limited this way in our relationship with God. That we will be able to have full communion with Him. Somehow, when we don't know exactly how it worked out, but in the cool of the evening, what did it say about Adam and Eve? They walked with God. Did they actually see God? Not sure. I can't say dogmatically. Maybe some others can, but I'm not going to say it dogmatically. That yes, for sure, they saw Him face to face. But they knew His presence was in heaven. When our spiritual body's in, we will know and we will sense that His presence is with us. That will work somehow, some way. I don't have all the details on that. I'm just trying to paint a big picture here for you. But whatever that relationship will be with, we will be connected and we will know that God is present with us. We will know that the Lord Jesus Christ is present with us. We will know that the Holy Spirit is present. That there will be some form of eyesight, visibility. But that the idea here is the connection where the sinful flesh is put aside, where we will now be truly one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is the focus. That is what I want us to picture here. Because I believe that's what the text is showing us. That we groan for this heavenly body in which we can be in heavenly places in full presence. For us now, it's our seat is reserved. Our place is reserved. We can walk with holiness, with righteousness, with all that God has for us. But this, friends, my friends, will be a different plane. This will be a whole different concept for us. That we will be with Him. With a spiritual body. One that is not going to break down. One that will last forever. One that will not die. One that will be able to fulfill all the desires of God the Father. You think about it. You can be pleasing to Him completely. Now, I know a lot of you, you feel shame when you fall short, right? You feel embarrassed, you feel guilty, you feel convicted, right? Yes? That won't happen. We will be with Him. Longing to be clothed so that I can maximize my worship and my praise of God. We will have maximum benefits. We'll be working at full, optimum capacity, pleasing and worshiping God. Number 7, this new body will be like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Who is this last Adam? It's Jesus Christ. Who was the first Adam? A real human being. Okay? And I make emphasis on that because some will say he never existed. Some are out there who will teach, oh, an analogy. Or it's just some kind of symbolism. No, Adam existed, flesh and blood. Adam was the first human being created by God. Real, 100% real. This first Adam was Adam, of Adam and Eve. This last Adam is Jesus Christ. And what does he say here? The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Just as we have life, physical life because of Adam, we have life-giving spirit because of Jesus Christ. But if we're born again, if we're born of God, we have this life that Jesus, the last Adam, has come to give us. He is our, as we talked about a few weeks ago, he is my representative. Because of his righteousness, that now as I have surrendered my life to him, his righteousness has become my righteousness. He has imputed his righteousness into me. Verse 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthly, so also are those who are earthly. As is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Who's he talking about? Who's going to bear the image of the heavenly one? All those who are believers, saints in Christ, born again. It goes back to the very first chapter when he starts off, to those sanctified, to you who are holy, to you who are called, to you who are the children of God. Now remember, again, we talked about this. Correction came after that from Paul. He's rebuking them. He's exhorting them. He's pointing them in the better direction. He's saying, you guys are blowing it. You guys are falling short. But here, because of God, Christ, because he is the last Adam, because he is the life-giving spirit, he has given you new life. Don't abuse it. Use it for his glory. Use it for your benefit. Look with me at 1 John chapter 3. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. When? Now. Why? Because I have believed in Christ. I have repented of my sins. Now we are children of God, and has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Friends, a day is coming when the Lord returns and we will see him, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, he says, why do you look up into the sky? For this Jesus who ascended from you will also descend in the same manner. And because Jesus Christ had a physical body, he has a spiritual body, and we will recognize him as such. And we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Friends, these are the promises. We don't know exactly if I'm going to look. I believe we're going to recognize each other, but how are we going to look? You know, if a baby dies in the womb, well, how are we going to recognize him? What age will they look? If my father-in-law, who's 94, is he going to have that 94 look? Or is he going to have that 45 look? I don't know. We will recognize him as he is, but we recognize that our bodies will all be made up and done because God has designed us, and we will be available and able to fulfill his perfect will. We think when we get to heaven, all we're going to do is sit in clouds and listen to angels playing harps. Baloney! There will be stuff to do, work to do, things to accomplish, but we will not fall short because God will empower us. He will prepare us. He has designed us for lifetime maximum use and pleasing him in all things. Friends, that in itself should be motivation for us to honor him today. Preparing ourselves with the right mindset so that when we get into heaven, it's not going to be that big of a transition. Well, it will be. But we'll have that mind of Christ to serve, to please, to work for him. And friends, today we have the privilege of serving him. We have the privilege and honor of being made brand new. And for some of us, it is a struggle to put off the old man. But don't give up because of the promises set before us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always right there with you, my friends, my brothers, my children. I am there to help you. And so when we can put our hands to the plow, it's a privilege. It's because of our devotion and our love for God. We have been called to work in His vineyard for His glory. And each of us has been gifted differently. And He has molded and shaped us with our experiences, with our struggles, with our trials, with our blessings, with our victories to meet needs that we might bring Christ and we might bring the Father worship through the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, are you in? Are you in? Think about this as we invite the men to come up, take up the offering, and the worship team will come back. How am I pleasing to God? How have I honored Him? How am I helping others put faith in Christ that they too will enjoy the promise of a new body? Let's pray for our offering. Father, again, we're grateful that you have provided. We're grateful, Father, that you have provided for us spiritually most of all. But now, Father, we come in worship by offering what you've blessed us with, as it were the first fruits of our labors. Father, for you are the giver of all good gifts. Father, that you will not spare anything because you did not spare your Son to bless us with. But now, Father, here's our act of worship, of giving to you, of honoring you with this offering. And may we use it for your honor and glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There was a woman who was diagnosed with terminal illness and had been given 3 months to live. As she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and asked him to come by the house to discuss some of her final wishes. She told him the song she wanted sung at the funeral services, what scriptures should be read, and what outfit she wanted to be buried in. She requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. As the pastor prepared to leave, the woman suddenly remembered something else. "There's one more thing," she said excitedly. The pastor says, "What's that?" "This is important," the woman said. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." The pastor stood looking at the woman, not quite knowing what to say. Now, if it had been me, they would have known what I was trying to say. But this woman, they didn't know. He didn't know what. So the woman explained, "In all my years of attending church, socials, and potlucks, dinners, when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean in and say, 'Keep your fork. The best is yet to come.' It was my favorite part of the meal because I knew something better was coming, like chocolate cake, a deep apple pie, or arroz con leche. So when the people see me in the casket with a fork in my right hand, they ask, 'What's with the fork?' I want you to tell them the best is yet to come." And friends, the best is yet to come. When we are meet Christ in the air, when we receive our resurrected body, when we're with Him forever, that is the best yet to come. And friends, each of you, I want each and every one of you to be able to enjoy that moment. The best is yet to come. And Father, you've made that possible by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. You made that possible by raising Him from the dead to newness of life. You've also made that possible through the convicting work of your Holy Spirit, Father. And I pray, Lord, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit will be upon each and every one of us. Some of us is for salvation, and others for us is for repentance. And for others, it's a reminder to keep your hands to the plow. Keep looking forward to honor you. But Father, we thank you today. And we know that the best is yet to come, when we will be in your presence forevermore. And for that, we thank you today, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. God bless.